Well, the book of 1 Corinthians was a letter to the Corinthian church that would have been read publicly. And when they got to chapter 13 that we've just read and just sung about, the Corinthians didn't say, well, how inspiring. Let's put it on our wall at home. Let's put it in our children's literature books. Let's read it on special occasions. Now the Corinthians, when they got to that chapter, would have said, how dare he? How dare Paul write to us in this way? Because in verses 1 to 3, he's making a list of the way that the Corinthian church was. Now the Corinthian church was a brilliant church. It was a talented church. Miracles were taking place. The church was growing. There was tremendous insight within this church. There were good speakers there. There were great teachers. God was working through them. In verses 1 to 3, Paul lays out for us the first bombshell. And he says, you know what? It's possible to have all of that and be nothing at all. Because you can be nothing and do miracles. Then in verses 4 to 7, he gives us a second bombshell. He gives us a picture of all of the things that love is, and we've been looking through this, haven't we? Actually, these words are taken from other places within the letter. And Paul is giving the Corinthians a picture of all of the things that they are not. And he gives them a picture of love that is so incredibly lofty that it just humbles us. It just drives us to our knees and to ask God for his grace and for his mercy. But now we come to a third bombshell that Paul drops on us. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. He says, when I was a child, I talked as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And you know what? That's another very strong rebuke. Because what Paul is doing, in effect, here is calling them babies. If you were to read through the whole of 1 Corinthians, you realize that this is a very important theme throughout his letter. The Corinthians, though they were a gifted church, and the church was full of great gifts and talents and miracles, it was a church in which there was fighting, and there was jealousy, and there were spats, and there were divisions. Have a look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1. And Paul says here, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? You see what Paul is saying? Jealousy and quarreling proves that no matter how brilliant you seem to be, you're just like spiritual infants. You're just like a little baby. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Again, Paul addresses them as brothers and sisters. Stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. So what Paul is actually doing in 1 Corinthians 13 is he is identifying their lack of spiritual maturity. He's saying, look, babies are rude. Babies are impatient. Babies keep records of wrongdoing. Babies are self-seeking. Babies are proud. Babies are always fighting. You're just a bunch of babies. You see, this whole chapter is a terrible rebuke. So when Paul calls them babies, when Paul says, get rid of the childish, he's not just rebuking them, he's also instructing them. It's a tremendously instructive metaphor for us to understand what Paul is talking about here. Because if you understand what he's saying, that in Christianity we all start out as little children spiritually, and that we have to mature into love, if we understand that, then we won't have a mechanical view of the Christian life. We won't have a view that says, look, to be loving means I've just got to work harder at it. I've just got to work harder and harder and harder, and then I'll be more loving. No, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul says two or three times, what makes you a child has to do with the way you think. It's your thinking. Do you see it here in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20? Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. See, love is a very organic thing. It grows out of an altered state of consciousness that Christianity brings to us. So therefore, it's not just a rebuke. Though, frankly, as we go through this chapter, and you've probably noticed as we've been going through the chapter, we're going to feel rebuked. We're going to say, there's a tremendous amount of spiritual childishness in all of us. But it is also very instructive. This metaphor Paul is teaching us, he's teaching us that we must mature. We have to. He tells us how we are childish, and he shows us the ways in which we must mature. And then he gives us an important clue as to how we can become spiritually mature. So let's take the first of those points. We've got to mature. The first point which we are taught by this verse is really so obvious that if we don't stop and reflect on it, we can easily miss it. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, in other words, when I matured, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Now by saying this, Paul is telling them that they are spiritual babes, but he's also teaching them something very important. And that is, all people in the spiritual realm start off as babies. They start off as infants. Paul doesn't say here, I used to be a child. How awful. How dreadful. How did that ever happen? No, he doesn't say that because everybody has to start out as a child. In the biological, in the physiological realm, we all have to start out as children if we're going to be adults. So there's nothing wrong with being a child. The problem is if you stay a child. Of course you're going to start off as immature, but you mustn't stay immature. And what Paul is actually saying here is that in the spiritual realm, the problem with these Corinthians is not that they start out as children, but they stay as children. And we mustn't overlook this first and most basic and important point. All of us, every single one of us, when we become a Christian, we start out as a babe in Christ. We're all babies to start with. And that immediately tells us that Christianity is not like joining a club. You see, when you join a club, you have a set of new rules that you've got to keep and a whole new bunch of meetings that you've got to attend. But to become a Christian, is to be born into a whole new realm. That's the reason why Jesus and every writer in the New Testament says that when you become a Christian, it is such a radical change. In fact, the only way we can come to grips with what this change is to call it a new birth. Jesus says becoming a Christian, well, it's like being born again. Now, of course, it's a metaphor. But what it's talking about is that to become a Christian is not just to pick up a new code of ethics. It's not just to join a new club. To become a Christian is to be born into a whole new realm. You get a whole new nature. You're born into a whole new dimension of life. Now here's the point. When you start off in your regular life, you start off as an infant. That means whether you have a PhD, or whether you have an IQ of 200, or whether you're a world leader, whether you're at the very top of your profession, when you become a Christian, you start off as an absolute baby. If you become a Christian when you're 80, you're a baby. Now, if you don't see that, and the Corinthians didn't, there's tremendous trouble in store. You see, Corinth was a cosmopolitan city. The people who lived in the centre of Corinth tended to be the talented people. They'd made it. They were very successful. They were people who, in a sense, were very advanced. They were very mature in their chosen field. And they'd worked hard to get to the place where they had reached in business or in society. And when they became Christians, they said, well, of course I'm an advanced person. Of course I'm a successful person. I should be teaching. I should be leading. I should be doing this. And I should be doing that. But Paul says, you have to see that no matter who you are, no matter how advanced you are, however successful you are in life, when you become a Christian, you start at the very bottom. After all, that's how you had to start in your physical life. You had to start at the bottom. You had to have your nappies changed by someone. Now, when you start out as a spiritual baby, you're the same way. And you have to see that. Paul says, I was a child, and now I've become an adult. And the same thing is true spiritually. You start as children. Now, there's a really important application of this for us. Because there is a danger that if a person who in their life in the regular world has reached a certain status, and has worked hard to get to that status, suddenly becomes a Christian, and they come to church, they could easily look around, and the first thing they're going to see are people that aren't beneath them. They're not as slick. They're not as sophisticated. Not as well off. Maybe not as smart as they are. And the danger is that that person will say, what can they teach me in the position that I'm in? You see, that's why it's so important for them to realize that they are but a baby. They have not to look at verses 1 to 3 and say, well, where am I in terms of all of these gifts and talents? Now they have to start looking at verses 4 to 7 and say, because I am a little baby, I am looking for people who are more mature than I am. I need to be changed. I need to be fed. I need to be nurtured. I need to see people who are more advanced in love and in patience, people who are better at rejecting evil than I am, people who are better at rejoicing with the truth than I am. A new Christian coming to church is going to find some very unsophisticated people who don't seem to be at their level at all. And yet they're going to find that those same people are more spiritually mature. And a new Christian will need them to change their nappy. Will need them to be of help. Will need them to feed them. And that can be very difficult for a new Christian who has some status out in the world outside. You see, the Corinthians couldn't do it. The Corinthians figured that because they were so advanced in one level, they were going to be equally as advanced when they became a Christian. And the trouble is they weren't. Because nobody is. You see, we have to change our whole way of thinking, which is what repentance is all about. We've got to change the way that we think. Now, one more little application from this is we have to be patient. To mature as a Christian takes time. People often have to work years before they become successful in business. So don't think that coming into Christianity you're going to get everything fast. And many people get upset because changes don't come quickly. They don't get over all of their problems quickly. They don't understand everything quickly. But you see, growth takes time. It's a process. We just take the example of being a mother. You see, mothers, if they're good mothers, will know that it's taken them a long time to get where they are. If you try to become a mother too soon, you'll have what some of the newspapers will call babies having babies. And it's just a disaster. See, do you think you're going to become a mother in the church in a year? 1-year-olds don't have children, do they? They can't. 13-year-olds shouldn't have children. So be patient. Now here's our second point. Ways in which we must mature. Throughout the New Testament we are told to stop being spiritual babies and to grow up. To get off of the milk and onto the meat. And we could go through all of those instances, and it would be a long list that we'd have to go through as to what it means to be a spiritual baby. But the essence of what Paul is getting at is this. Babies have short attention spans. You notice that? Babies love the spectacular. Babies love the miracles. They love the big stuff. They love the noisy and the quick. But love is really a matter of the quiet and the lengthy. Let me give you an illustration. When our kids were about 3, if we sat them down in front of the TV to watch something like Star Wars, they would sit and be completely transfixed by what's on the television. Now, why was that? Well, it's because on the screen there was power, and there was action, and it was followed by more action. There was no real character development, just explosions and special effects. It was actually verses 1-3. Now, what if we'd sat them down as 3-year-olds in front of the telly to watch Sense and Sensibility? What if we'd shown them love? What if we'd shown them redemption? In fact, sit a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old down to watch it. Would they be interested? Highly unlikely. What they want is the car crashes, the explosions, the action, followed by more action. And any development psychologist will tell you that kids focus on action. They focus on what is superficial. They want the power. Don't show them a relationship developing like you get in real life. Don't give them a film like that to watch. They'll either fall asleep on you, which is probably the best possible result, or else they'll start jumping around themselves to make up their own action. And you know, that's exactly what Paul is saying here. And there's a perfect analogy here with the spiritual realm. Because there are many people who think, if I get power, if I get success, if I get romance, if I get a certain level of beauty or a certain level of control or a certain level of success, if I get all of this action, then I'm going to be happy. And you know what? If you get all of that and you don't have love, you'll find out that life is not really about power, it's not really about influence, it's not really about any of those things. Because you can have all of those things, and if you don't have love, your life will fall apart. If you have love, and you don't have any of those things, you can make it just fine. It's only a spiritual infant, an absolute infant in the spiritual realm, who doesn't see that, doesn't understand that. And yet, virtually every human being, including me, has started out in life that way. You don't think that it's love, you don't think that it's relationships, you think it's action, and you think that it's power. You see, it's the noisy and the quick that gets the infant's attention, not the quiet and the lengthy, not the nuanced. It's power and not love. Now let me apply that on two levels. First, in terms of Christianity, because there are plenty of Christians around who, like the Corinthian Christians, when they get into Christianity, everything has got to be dramatic. Everything's got to be fast. The only testimonies that they get really excited about are testimonies where there appears to be quick answers to very difficult problems. I accepted the Lord and all of my addictions went from me the very next day. When you hear them talk about guidance, they will say, I was praying and suddenly the thought came to me and I tried it and it was absolutely the right thing to do. But you never hear them ask for strength as they battle through their addictions or ask for God to make them wise in the decisions they take and realize that it's actually going to take a long time for that wisdom to come. You see, a baby wants everything to be dramatic and is always talking about their Christianity in terms of dramatic incidents and power. They're always excited about miracles. But everybody who matures finds out eventually that love, though it might start out as noisy and quick, is always a matter of being quiet and lengthy. Take the level of marriage. You might have this incredibly passionate beginning to your marriage. It might have been noisy and it might have been quick. But let me tell you, if you're going to have a good marriage, you're going to find that a good marriage is built on the lengthy and the mundane. Quietly keeping your vows, being faithful to your partner. And if you do that over 10, 20, 30 years, you'll find that your love is much deeper than that noisy, spectacular beginning. If you're not willing to pay that price, then Paul says, well, actually, you're a spiritual baby. And you will think that it's all downhill from the honeymoon. See, that's the way love is. Love is the quiet and the lengthy, not the noisy and the spectacular. And until you see that, you're a spiritual baby. That's what childishness is. A short attention span with God and with other people. It's only in the long and the quiet and the lengthy mundane journey, being faithful in little things, being faithful in the long run, it's only if you can take that course, only if you're mature enough to see that that is the way to go, are you going to become a person of love and of greatness. But if you're a child, you're immediately going to say, why aren't things happening now? Why aren't things happening right away? Why isn't God immediately answering my prayer? It's a bit like a child throwing a tantrum in the supermarket, isn't it? I want it now. I don't want to wait. Why isn't God immediately changing me? It has to be noisy. It has to be quick. Paul says, grow up. When you meet the person and you find that they're not that interesting, they don't interest you. Do you just lose attention? Do you have a short attention span with people? When you first meet them, if they don't do anything for you right away, they don't attract you, do you just give up on them? If you do, Paul says, spiritually you're being a child. You need to spend time with people. You need to get to know them. You need to be patient with people. Children are impatient, but love is patient. Children do not put up with, but love endures, you see? Love in verses 4 to 7 is maturity. So here's our third point. How to become spiritually mature. Now we're supposed to be mature by getting over the noisy, by getting over the spectacular, and moving towards a long obedience in the same direction, quietly and patiently. And as an adult, you keep your attention span because you're not so self-absorbed. The reason that a child has that short attention span is that the child is sure that if I'm not interested in it, if it doesn't immediately gratify me, if it doesn't scratch where I itch at the moment, then it's not that important. This person doesn't interest me, they can't be important. God is not telling me what I want to hear, then there must be something wrong with God. See, a child is so self-absorbed, a child doesn't stick with things. We've got to mature, but how? How can we grow up? Well, Paul gives us a pretty amazing clue how to mature when he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. So, first of all, what we have to do is remind ourselves that we are children. We are a child. Let me put it two ways. There's a certain kind of immaturity that happens when an 18-year-old acts like an 8-year-old. But there's also a kind of immaturity that comes when an 8-year-old tries to act like an 18-year-old. Now, when an 8-year-old acts like an 18-year-old, what's really happening is their childishness is aggravated because they don't acknowledge that they are a child. The more childish a child is, the less the child is willing to admit that he or she is a child. So, for example, if a child tries to do things that they're just not capable of and says, sure, I can drive that car, I don't have to wait until I'm 16. I'm only 8 years old, but I can drive the car, it's easy. Then that's a more childish child than a child who says, I'm only 8 years old, I don't know how to drive, I couldn't possibly drive the car. And that can spill over to our own attitudes. If you're eaten up with worry and anxiety, as opposed to the peace and serenity that maturity brings, or if you're always angry because life isn't going right in the way that you want it to, do you know what's going on? We're being childish because we don't admit that we're a child. You know, there's nothing more relaxing than saying, I don't know. You come to see that. We always had to have an answer for everything, didn't we? We always had to say, this is what this means. But it's so relaxing to say, well, actually, I don't know. I don't know. Things aren't going the way that I want them to go, but I'm just a child, and I don't know why. I don't know why certain things happen. I just don't know. But the Lord knows, and I don't. It's so relaxing to admit that you're a child. And the minute you begin to admit you're a child, and don't act like you're not a child, you're beginning to grow up. An 8-year-old who admits he's an 8-year-old is far more grown up than an 8-year-old who thinks he's an 18-year-old. And one of the first things you have to do is to recognize, I do think as a child. And if you do think like a child, wait till you see how much more serene your life will become and how much more mature you will become. It's very important. Teresa of Avila put it this way. From heaven, even the most miserable life will look like one bad night in an inconvenient hotel. It's a great attitude to have, isn't it? That however bad our life is now, compared to the whole of eternity, it's just like one bad night in a rather nasty hotel. Now what's she saying? Well, she's reminding herself that she's a child. She's saying, well look, right now things look pretty bad, but I'm just a child. From where I am in my perspective, it looks terrible. But I know when I've grown up, when I've fully matured, when I'm in heaven with God for all eternity, when I'm seeing things the way God sees them, this won't look bad at all. Heaven will make amends for all of this. 1 second with Jesus, 1 kiss from him, well, that will completely overwhelm all of the pain that I've experienced. She's remembering she's a child, and she's saying, when I become an adult. And there's no better way to become an adult spiritually than admit you are a child. Are you? Do you admit that you speak as a child to some degree? That you think as a child? That you reason as a child? To some degree, we have to admit that. And then we can go on, and second, we have to put away our childish reasoning. The other kind of immaturity is where an 18-year-old acts like an 8-year-old. And what Paul is doing here is very important, because he's saying you're still thinking like children. Both here and in chapter 14 and verse 20, Paul is saying what makes a child is a lack of thinking. And he uses the word reasoning. And it's a Greek word from which we get the word logic. And what he's actually saying is, you've got to logic it out. You've got to reason it out. You've got to think it out. You've got to reckon. He uses the same word in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 when he says this. This is in the King James Version, Romans 8 and verse 18, when he says, I reckon, I logic it out, I think it out, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, well, that's the same thing Teresa of Avila is saying, isn't it? She reckoned it out. Now, what's Paul doing? Well, he says, if I just react to my suffering, I'll be overcome. But if I reason, if I think it out, if I consider it, I say, just like Teresa did, from heaven, even the most miserable life on this earth will look like one bad night in an inconvenient hotel. What is an immature person? It's a person who reacts instead of thinks. A Christian is somebody who takes what they already know, the gospel, and what the gospel presents to them, and they reason it out. You see, if somebody criticizes you, somebody has a go at you, somebody bad mouths you, what do you say? Well, you could just react, couldn't you? Because that's such a human response. Or what you can do is you can reason it out, and you can think about it. And you can think, yes, the gospel does tell me that I'm a sinner. So I shouldn't be proud, but the gospel also tells me that I am totally and utterly loved through Jesus. So I've got nothing to prove. You see, now when you're doing that, what is it that you're doing? You're logicking it out. You're thinking about it. You see, children react. They don't really reason very well. They don't logic it out at all. But Paul says, I put away that old way of thinking. I put away the childish way of reasoning. Now I'm thinking as an adult. I think it out. And that's how you get out of it too. You have to think it out. So when you're being hurt by somebody, when it's difficult for you to forgive somebody, you have to go back to the gospel and you have to think it out. You have to reason it out, not react like a child reacts. You see, the Corinthians weren't using what they knew. They knew the gospel, but they weren't using it. What we have to do is to use it. So maybe in the end, this is the way to escape a short attention span. This is the way to escape our self-absorption. This is the way to escape the complaining, griping life. This is what C.S. Lewis said in one of his sermons called The Weight of Glory. He said, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We're far too easily pleased." You see what he's saying? It's childish to look at your mud pies, the sex and the drink and the ambition, when you know what's really being offered to you. And so he's saying, think it out. Think about the gospel. And most of all, look to Jesus. Look at him on the cross and see him staying put for you. Remember what they said to him on the cross? If you really are who you said, come down. Demonstrate it to come down. But he stayed put. Talk about long obedience. Talk about love that was lengthy and quiet. He was the lamb who before the slaughter was quiet. He didn't say anything. He loved us to the full extent as he completed salvation for us. Jesus endured what must have felt like an eternity on the cross so that you could be patient, so that you could have a long attention span, so that you could grow up and be mature. And Paul says, think it out. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child. Now I abolish the childish ways. And to achieve that, look at the Saviour loving us forever and think that out. Logic it out. Reason it. Reckon it. Remember that we are but children, yet at the same time moving away from our childishness so that we can grow up into the fullness, the stature of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul tells us to do, isn't it? We're to mature into the fullness of Jesus. We can only do that by looking to him. He is the picture of maturity. He is the picture of love. And with him, living in and through us, we can be like him as we think and as we don't react.